in common.
What's that?
Wait and see.
The earlier ostentatious display of affluence in the woman's clothes and jewelry was repeated at the meal. Baron Alias wore the same clothes as before, sitting ramrod straight, narrowed eyes darting behind the thick lenses to whoever was speaking. Sharona had changed. Her hair had been piled on top of her head and secured with a pin of beaten silver, holding in its clawed end a large bead of rough amber. Her necklace was also of unmatched lumps of soft amber. A bolero jacket of light cream suede was draped over her shoulders, pinned at the front across her breasts with small silver clips. Every time she leaned forward to help herself to one of the dishes of food, Ryan was aware that he could very nearly glimpse the nipple on her left breast. Sharona's skirt was dark green leather, buffed to a dull sheen, its hem reaching to her knees. Her shoes were of matching green leather. The plates and dishes were of fine china, with a delicate floral pattern etched around the edges. The glass was crystal that rang like a bell if tapped with a fingernail. The cutlery was plain steel, unadorned, but with handles of carved bone. The food was ornate and was served in tiny portions, surrounded by artistic little pools of bright sauces and vegetables carved to resemble flowers. Ryan craved a decent hunk of meat that he could get to grips with and a realistic helping of potatoes. He helped himself to some honest gravy instead of the endless array of sweet and sour sauces that spoiled every dish. He and JB made some effort to follow the example of their hosts, who picked at their food, constructing color-keyed mouthfuls for themselves. The trader didn't bother. He simply picked up his spoon or fork and attacked every course with them, scraping up the meat or fish or game and jamming it into his mouth, along with the frail, florid vegetables. He used a hunk of bread to mop up the sauces.
You seem very hungry, trader.
I need to be to keep eating these double small portions of overdressed duck, wouldn't I? excuse me.
Eventually, after what seemed like hours, the servants cleared away the last dishes and brought in a silver samovar, resting over a blue spirit flame. They settled it in place, ready to make coffee. And at a signal from Sharona, they withdrew.
Looks like your sec boss ferryman's not going to join us.
He'll be here. Probably attending to the burying first.
The business costs, huh?
All business costs, JB. It's a question of whether the price is worth the paying.
Or the price worth the having.
Oh, yes. How true, trader. But if you truly want a thing, then no price is too high. What do you think, Ryan?
The candles in their silver sconces were beginning to gutter and flare, making the rectangular room shrink in the gloom. Ryan wasn't sure how well Baron Carson could make out the faces of his wife and guests. He hoped that his own face was impassive, and his voice pitched normally as he replied to the woman's question.
There's times that the price could be out of reach.
Sharona's fingers tightened on his thigh. As the meal had worn on, the woman had gradually eased her chair a little closer to Ryan's until she could rub her right foot up and down the calf of his left leg. It had been during the array of biscuits and fruit ices that her right hand had dropped beneath the level of the linen cloth. She started at his knee and feathered higher. And higher. Now her fingers caressed the top of his thigh, feeling his raging erection. They cupped his balls and squeezed firmly. Ryan dropped his coffee spoon onto his saucer, receiving curious glances from both the trader and JB. It was the trader who changed the subject. During the meal, he'd made several attempts to steer the conversation around to business, but the Baron had always insisted on keeping the talk to other matters, the recent warm weather, the fortifications of the old Indian's pueblo to make it a secure ville, the difficulty of training the local peasants to serve at table. Now, with the thick sweet coffee poured into tiny cups of thin porcelain, the Baron was ready to discuss business matters with his visitors. To Ryan's relief, his wife needed her right hand to hold her coffee, and he was able to relax.
We need ammo and gas.
And we have ammo and gas.
The Baron placed the tips of his fingers together like a cathedral steeple.
Any caliber?
Within reason. 22 up to 45. We also have a supply of grins. Mainly frags and a few implodes, I believe.
We got plenty of grins. We're low on 9 mil and 38.
Lots of men know what they don't want, Mr. Dix. Refreshing to meet a man who knows what he does want.
Good octane gas?
Oh, yes. We process it ourselves.
Sharuna finished her coffee, and to Ryan's alarm, her right hand was grabbing its bejeweled way to the edge of the table.
Price?
Always the talk comes around to Jack. That isn't the way we choose to deal with such matters here in Tiles.
But how come you got so much silver and stuff?
They had been served a rich red wine that tasted of summer fruit, glowing in tall crystal goblets, and it had loosened Ryan's tongue. The woman turned to face him, shrugging her shoulders and giving him another glimpse of the dark tip of her breast.
Alias stumbled on a redoubt years ago that was filled with old paintings and such. Like a place where treasure had been sent for safety. Then the long winters came and nobody remembered it. The jewels and clothes and all sealed airtight. And some of the blasters the sect men used. Once you have plenty of Jack, Ryan, then it's childishly simple to use it to obtain more Jack. And then more. Now you've come to force still more upon us for gas and ammo.
The way the trader had talked about Taos, it had sounded a darker story. A story whose pages were dappled with spilled blood. Ryan was aware of the scent of Sharuna Carson's body, a feral, musky odor, with her perfume overlaying the flavor of her skin. He wanted her, more than he'd ever wanted any woman. The door at the far end of the room swung open, interrupting his dangerous train of thought. Baron Carson peered into the shadows.
That you, Ferryman?
Yes, Baron.
A burly figure approached the table, gradually assuming features.
We had trouble. Everything was going to plan, then we got interrupted. Another 5 minutes and we'd have had to...
Before you go on, Ferryman, we have visitors. Two warwags and the trader himself.
Warwags?
The draft from the door made the candles flicker more brightly, illuminating the face of the sect boss, and revealing the black patch that covered the socket of his left eye. Ferryman didn't speak as he took his place at the table, but he nodded to the Baron and to Sharuna. He poured himself a glass of the red wine and drained it in a single draft.
That cuts the dust better than a gallon of mule's piss.
Ryan and JB waited, ready to hit leather and draw their blasters, waiting for the word from the traitor. But the older man didn't speak for some time, sipping at his own glass of wine. Eventually, it was the Baron himself who broke the tension.
How many chilled, Ferryman?
One from the Outlanders. Lucky shot. Bullet hit Kendo clean through his left eye. Then the warwags came along and we lost us another 5. 6 if you count Shell. Got 3 rounds in the middle of his belly. And he won't make it through the night. Call it 7 chilled in all.
It's not a piece of arithmetic that I much care for, Ferryman.
Me neither, Baron.
Alias Carson tapped his index finger on the table. Then he waited and looked around the room.
And what's the profit? These warwags drove you off and inflicted casualties among my sect men.
That's right, Baron.
Ryan put Ferryman's age around 30, with a dark skin that whispered something about Indian blood someplace in his background. Ryan was starting to get a bad feeling. It was like a game where everyone knew the objective, but only one person knew the rules.
Why were you out there beyond the gorge trying to stop a convoy of wags?
Well,
they hadn't paid the tolls, had they, Ferryman? Was that it?
Yes, Baron.
Folks paid a mighty high price for walking for some tolls, Baron. Plenty of them fell into the dark. Burned wags. High price, Baron.
You come within 100 miles of Tilesville and cross me or cross any of the boys that work for me, and you can find yourself paying a high kind of price, too.
The trader stood, the palms of his hands flat on the tabletop.
Conversation like this could lead to some real serious misunderstandings, Baron. Best keep to the business. When can you let us have the gas we want?
Take a few days. When's the next delivery of gas wags coming in, Ferryman? 4 or 5 days?
4 or 5 days.
Once again, Ryan felt that the sect boss was simply acting as a mouthpiece for the Baron, nodding his agreement to the suggestions, which tended to point toward some kind of trickery on the part of Alias Carson. Then again, it was a common enough saying throughout the Deathlands that if you wanted to talk about something that was rotten or untrustworthy or potentially dangerous, you'd say that it was good as a Baron's promise. Everyone stood, except for Sharuna Carson, who was wiping her mouth with one of the embroidered damask table napkins.
4 or 5 days, then. I'll get our quartermaster to do some buying of food and supplies while we're here. How about water?
You could...